We're going to continue this morning with our message on healing. God's will is always health and healing. 3 John, verse 2, very familiar one for all of us. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So there's no question about what God's will is. If somebody says, this is the thing if you had a Christmas list, then this is the number one thing. You know, my grandkids do that every year. They make out a list for Christmas and then they star them, or they'll number them in the order that they want them. You know, now at least it's not flat screen TVs anymore and things like that. I had one of those back a couple of years ago. I was like, seriously? but he says, I wish above all things. So this is really important to God. Health and our prosperity and our health is really important to God. And I believe that's because those are the things that seem to consume our time, our resources, our energies. They zap us of our ability to perform on a daily basis. They keep us unproductive. They keep us focused on ourselves. We're not good servants when we're sick. And when we're broke, we can't be a part of what the kingdom, God's kingdom, when we're broke and we can't give and we can't participate or serve with our finances. So these are things that are really important, not only for our benefit, but also from a kingdom perspective. And so we've looked at a number of things regarding healing over the last several weeks already, and saw that right from the very beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, all the way to the end, we see God's will for healing. We see it over and over again. We see it in the accounts. We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in how he commissioned the church when he was about to ascend to the Father. He commissioned them to go out and to continue the work that he brought to the earth. And we know that it says that he went about doing good healing. It's the first thing it tells us he did. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. So we know that predominantly his ministry was predominantly comprised of healing. And so we can look at all these wonderful accounts. I love the accounts. I love that God recorded those for us, because they show us different processes that healing came through. And we talked a little bit about that last week. But what does God think of sickness? Well, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. We looked at all the different things that the scriptures say, that how God views sickness. First of all, in Deuteronomy 28, it tells us God views sickness as a curse. And, in this church, pretty much people know this stuff. But, you need to be armed with this, because you're going to meet people who are going to try to tell you that sickness is a blessing. That's just like tilt to us. But there's people who do believe that sickness is a blessing, and that God uses it to teach, or God uses it to correct, or God uses it to bless us in some way. I don't know about you, but I've never been blessed when I've been sick. Never been blessed. It doesn't bless your family when you're sick. It doesn't bless you. It doesn't bless anything when we're sick. So God views it as a curse. Another way God views sickness is that it's captivity. In Job chapter 42, verse 10, it tells us that God turned the captivity of Job. God views it as bondage. In Luke chapter 13, the woman with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years, Jesus referred to what had hold of her body as bondage. So it's bondage. God refers to sickness as evil. When the man with the withered hand came in that day, and the religious leaders sat by watching, kind of spying out to see if Jesus was going to heal him, Jesus says, is it good to do evil? Or is it right to do evil or to do good on the Sabbath? So he said it would be evil not to heal this woman. And he said, or to save life or to kill. So he compared that with the same as killing somebody, not to do good, not to heal. So it's evil. He views it as oppression. We see that in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. John chapter 10 tells us that it's something that steals and kills and destroys. So we just see it over and over and over again, that God does not see blessing in sickness. He doesn't see it as a teaching tool or something to bring a spiritual advancement to us in any way. Now, can you learn when you're sick? Sure you can. You can learn a lot. I was sharing back last week or 2 weeks ago, I shared that I had gotten an opportunity to get sick a couple weeks ago. And for a couple days, these symptoms were just, how they're just kind of at the door. It hasn't kind of completely come on and rested yet, but they're just kind of hanging there waiting for you to either open the door and welcome them in or slam the door in their face. And so the Lord took me through a process how to deal with that. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful process that I went through for 2 days with the Word, just being led through the scriptures. And I realized the principles for healing are always the same. We need to employ faith. We need to understand how faith comes, how faith operates, how it's released. We need to understand, of course, that it's God's will for us to be healed. There's principles that are consistent when it comes to healing. But then there's processes. Sometimes the process includes natural things. Are you drinking enough water? Are you getting enough sleep? Sometimes sickness just comes in because we've stressed our bodies. We've stayed up too late. You know, holidays are very stressful. Amen? Especially Christmas, for some reason, it's really stressful for some people. Years ago, I used to get some kind of stomach bug almost every year at Christmas, and I realized it's just stress. That's all it is. It's stress. But, you know, sickness doesn't have the right to come into our bodies. It does not have the right, but it does take advantage of opportunities. And if we stress ourselves, if we stress our bodies, if we don't get the rest we need, if we don't eat properly, if we're just not taking care of ourselves, that gives sickness an opportunity to come in. So sometimes the process is just natural things, but it should always include spiritual things. You know, the first thing, if the first thing you do when you start feeling sickness is to go to your medicine cabinet or to think, what have I got in the house that I could head this off with? Something's not right. The first thing should be, how do I cut this off from a spiritual perspective? That should be the first thing. And then you need to find what your process is for that. And, you know, it might not be the same process every time. It might not be the same. You know, in my case, I sat down. I felt impressed to go sit down and open the Bible. And the Lord just led me from scripture to scripture. It was wonderful. It was like sitting in a church service and having the preacher say, turn to this, turn to that. That's how it felt that day for me. And it was very personal. That was a process that he was taking me through. And then I felt impressed to confess some things. But each one of us will have to find what our process is. That is why man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, that steady stream of words that's flowing from the mouth of God. So you need to keep an ear attentive to the words God's speaking to you today. Remember, manna was something they had to collect every day. You need to collect the word every day for your situation. You can't live on, what happened to the manna if they kept it over and tried to eat it the next day? It's spoiled. Christians are trying to live on last Sunday's sermon or last 2 weeks ago's sermon and thinking that's good enough. You know, I what would happen to you physically if you only ate that often? Well, some of us would live longer than others, but some people wouldn't last very long. Amen. But you have to have this fresh flow constantly. That's part of the process of God, keeping that fresh flow of the word constantly coming in. So that's part of the process. And then recognizing that the healing power of God is always present to heal. I don't care if it's just you in your home all by yourself. If you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, the power of God is present to heal you. You don't have to wait till you get to church or to go to somebody's healing services or something like that to get healed. Healing is available right now. And as I said 2 weeks ago, I challenge you, if when you come on Sunday mornings, come with an expectation. When Jesus ministered the word, it said that the power of God was present to heal them, the people, all the people that were sitting there in that house service, that home house church service that day. The power of God was present to heal. We don't know that anyone got healed except for the man who was brought by his friends and brought down out through the roof. But the power of God's always present to heal. So always come expecting. Don't come in a passive state just to hear some words. Come with an expectation, amen, because the power of God is always, always present. And so understand that there are principles that are standard, they're consistent, but then there's processes that we're going to need to go through. And then the other thing is that it doesn't matter what the severity of the issue is that's going on in a person's life, God's power, his healing power, is enough to deal with anything, whether it's a common cold or a life-threatening disease. The power of God is equal to all of it. It can handle anything. Jesus never stopped and said, whoa, whoa, this is too much. This is too big for the power of God. He never even stopped and addressed the severity of things. And, you know, we know in the situation of the young boy who the disciples couldn't minister to, the son who had that spirit that cast him into the fire and threw him in the water, and they couldn't seem to minister to it. And they thought maybe it was, I think they were so moved by what they were seeing this young man enduring and the fact that it had been with him for so many years. But Jesus addressed their unbelief. He didn't address the severity of the illness. He addressed the unbelief that was keeping this child from being healed. So those are things we have to remind ourselves of. It's us that gets moved by what we feel and what we see. Not the power of God doesn't matter. It's meant, it's fitted for healing, for whatever it is. So today, for a little bit here, we're going to talk about healing is our legal right. You know, every country has certain laws that protect its citizens. Amen? And we're citizens of heaven. And so we have to understand that healing is a legal right that we have. It's our legal right. And if healing, divine healing exists, then there must be some kind of spiritual law or precedent to support it. There must be something you can go back to say, this is why I have a right to walk in divine health. No sickness has a right. It does not have a right. Now, like I said earlier, you might give it an opportunity. There might be opportunities we give it. Maybe, like I said, maybe we've stressed ourselves physically. Maybe we've gotten into strife. We've opened up the door. We've given an opportunity for it to come in. But it does not have a right. It has no legal right. And so if divine healing exists, then there must be some precedent, some law, something that sustains it. That's something that we can always go back to, some kind of precedent we can always go back to and say, that's what I'm standing on. That is what I'm standing on. So there's a legal foundation for healing, and we know it's because God can only deal with us through covenants because he gave the earth to men. So he, all along, his dealings with man, with every major Bible patriarch we see, God dealt with them through covenants. There's covenants, covenants in place, and there's covenant in place with us as well. And so, you know, you may not be able to see healing or feel healing, but you know what? You can read healing. This is our legal precedent. First and foremost, this is our legal precedent. And so, we have to look at where sickness came from. What is it? Where is it that sickness originated? Where did sickness come from? And then what is God's answer for that? Sometimes we just don't understand these things. We don't know these things. These are basics, but we're just going to go through them again. This might be something you can share with someone else, someone you work with or a family member. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. Remind yourself, when sickness comes knocking at your door, that sickness is not just a physical thing. Sickness is not just a physical issue, it's a legal issue. Healing is a legal issue. This is a legal issue. You know, we know many of our rights as American citizens. We need to understand what our rights are as citizens of the kingdom of God. That healing is a legal issue. So Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us something about sickness. It says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power because all men sinned. That's the Amplified Version. It says that sin came into the world through one man, and then death. Death came as the result of that, and death spread to everyone. Everyone. It says no one is able to stop it or escape its power because all have sinned. So we know when sin entered the world, everything changed. Everything was corrupted. Everything was altered. Things that God had created for one purpose seemed to be corrupted and altered. And spiritual death came immediately. And on the heels of spiritual death, physical death commenced. Really, that's what sickness is. It's the commencement of physical death. The common cold could kill a person if their immune system was compromised enough. So, you know, we sometimes just, oh, it's just a cold. No, you know what? This is death trying to come on my body. And you know what? It has no legal right in my house. This has no legal right. We need to fight it. Remember a couple of weeks ago we said, don't call it my whatever it is that you're dealing with. Don't call it my arthritis or my disability or my sore throat or my flu or whatever. You know, people, we hear people, you know, that would be the same as having a vandal break into your house and vandalize your home. Well, sickness is vandalizing you, isn't it? Isn't that coming to vandalize your physical body, to damage it? You wouldn't sit down with a vandal and call him your buddy, would you? You'd kick him out of your house. You would remove him from your house. We don't call it my anything. It's not my sickness. You know what? Who does that belong to? It belongs to the enemy. It doesn't belong to us. So physical death came in on the heels of spiritual death. And it's really, when you think about it, sickness is the first stage of physical death. It's incipient death. It's the first stages of death. And so, again, wouldn't that make you look at the common cold a little differently? Like, this is the beginning of the end. So am I going to tolerate it? Am I, now of course we don't settle for that, but you need to think about it that way. We need to think in legal terms about sickness. This is not something we're going to tolerate. It's not just a little cold or just a little allergy or just, this is physical death commencing. That's what this is. Now of course, we know that the natural human body, if we can prop up our immune system, the natural human body eventually will heal. But if it's compromised enough, it won't. You know, my daughter just took care of someone the other day. I can't say too much about this, but a young guy, young man, less under 30 years old, who had the flu for several days. And they were supposed to go on a vacation after Christmas, the holiday. And I don't know all the details, but he ended up brain dead. You see where things can go. If a person doesn't know how to deal with it, he ended up brain dead. Went to the hospital. They weren't able to do anything. Blood pressure tanked on him, and he crashed, and he ended up brain dead. Now, this is somebody who had the flu, you know, mild case of the flu, young man, a wife and two children. So we can't treat, I don't care how minor it seems to you, you don't treat it lightly. It's a vandal. It's something that's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. It's not your friend. It's not your anything. It belongs to the devil. Amen? And I know I sound passionate about this, but I am passionate about it. The body of Christ needs to rise up and stand against this stuff. Amen? So it's the commencement of death. And it only exists to diminish your life and to cut short your life. That's all it exists for. Just imagine. I was thinking about this yesterday. Imagine the years collectively that the body of Christ has suffered in lost service because of people going home early. Just imagine it collectively, because people didn't know how to deal with sickness. They didn't know how to stand against it because of sickness or premature death, or people who are just, they're physically in such a bad place, they can't serve anymore. They just can't help because their bodies have broken down. Lost service to the body of Christ. Just lost service. Lost ability to serve God, which we're here to be part of the kingdom of God, to serve God with our whole strength. And yet the body of Christ has been robbed by people being sick, by people being, their bodies breaking down. But sin is the root. Amen. Sickness is the fruit. Sickness is a fruit of which sin is the root. And so we know that if we pluck out the root, what will happen to the fruit? How many times have you gone out in your yard and you just plucked off the top of a dandelion? What did that do? Well, you got rid of the pretty part. I know somebody who used to love dandelions in their front yard. But if you don't do something about the root of that dandelion, you're going to have more dandelions. Amen. That's going to go to seed and it's going to spread all over. So we have to deal with the root. If we pluck out the root, then the fruit will cease. And, you know, some of the other fruits, it might not just be physical sickness. It might be emotional issues or psychological issues or relationship issues or loss of productivity. Those might be fruits of it. But sickness or sin is actually the root of all of that. And you know, people will accept that the cross addressed the spiritual aspect of death, that Jesus dealt with that, but they, a lot of people don't want to accept that all the physical and psychological aspects were provided for as well. Now, again, I think a church like ours, we know better. But there are whole bunches of people in the body of Christ who want to compartmentalize sickness, and they want to put sickness over here. They don't want to accept that God dealt with it. They don't want to accept that, it was addressed at the cross, but it was addressed at the cross. And so, what happened at the cross was a legal transaction. It was a legal thing that took place that gives us the authority and power to be whole. Whole spiritually, whole mentally, whole physically, whole psychologically. It's wholeness that God purchased for us at the cross. And so he wants us to experience life in abundance. And, you know, anything that is stealing from you is against what was accomplished at the cross. So I don't care if it, like I said, the common cold. Don't just think of it as a minor thing. It is violating your legal rights as a citizen of heaven. Something that, this is a legal issue. We're talking about legal issues. Okay, let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is such a wonderful psalm. David is foreseeing the plan of redemption in this psalm. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And as I was sharing a couple weeks ago, I was sharing that I was going through the scriptures. This was one of the scriptures that the Lord brought me to. He had just shown me Exodus 15:26, where he says, "I am the Lord that heals you, Jehovah Rapha." So when I came to Psalm 103, I was able to bless Jehovah Rapha. I was able to bless him. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So bless Jehovah Rapha. Thank him for his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Again, if you deal with the root, you've dealt with the fruit. And that's what verse 3 tells us here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all the diseases. You see, he deals with the root first, forgives the iniquities, deals with sin, and then healing the diseases is the fruit of it. And then Isaiah 53, let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Now, sickness is just kind of tagging along at the back, on the back of spiritual death. But sin is always at the root of that. Sickness is just kind of like a leech, you know. It's right there with spiritual death. Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely, certainly, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So again, this deals with the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. All three parts of us are dealt with here. And everything that Adam lost through that original sin, Jesus recovered through his redemptive work. And let's just look at some of the words here. Again, these are things you've been taught, but we're just going to go over it. It always is good for us to be reminded. It says, "He has borne our griefs." That word griefs, the Hebrew word for this means diseases and sicknesses. So you could write that in your Bible. Griefs is diseases and sicknesses. He bore your diseases and your sicknesses. He carried your sorrows. The word sorrows is pains. He bore them. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." So that's talking about the sin aspect. You see how this is all in the same context here. Sin was the root, and sickness and suffering is the fruit. And he dealt with it. It says, "With his stripes." It says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised." That word bruised means crushed. "For our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes," that means wounds, the wounds that wounded him, We are healed. And that word healed is the same word that Jehovah Rapha comes from. It's the word Rapha, which means to be healed, to be cured, to be thoroughly made whole. It's not enough just to get over something. We need to be whole. We need to be whole people. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him or to crush him. He had put him to grief, which means to become diseased or sick unto death. So it pleased God to do that. It pleased him because something was being accomplished. He had put him to grief. God made him sick. God made him sick with all our sickness and disease. And it says it pleased God to do that because he was dealing with the root. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us an aspect of this that we all accept. We accept this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, does anybody argue with this? We have been taught and taught and taught about being made the righteousness of God. Jesus was made sin for me, and I've been made, because of that, I've been made the righteousness of God in him. We do not argue that. We know this. This is a reality. This is something that's very real and important to us. We accept it. Well, then by the same token, you must accept, we could change that wording, that he made him sick for us. He made him to be sin so we could be righteous. He made him sick so we could be healed. Walk in wholeness. We're not just talking. We're talking about just getting over something. We're talking about walking in physical wholeness, being whole physically. So we can be healed and made well. Again, verse 10 says, when thou shalt make, this is the second part of that verse, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, so the sin, the root issue is there, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now listen to this. This is speaking of the judge of the universe, shall see the travail of his, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with what was accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. So he took our griefs, our sicknesses, and our sorrows, our pains, and he bore the sins of many, or we could say all. So he took care of both of them. See, there's a legal precedent. We need to understand our rights as citizens of heaven. These are our rights. It's our right. Why do I have a right to walk in? Why do I have a right to be healed and whole and to walk in divine health? Because of that. And we just see this continually through the scriptures. So he restored everything. Jesus, through this work, he restored what Adam lost, and he took care of it once and for all. Anything that pertains to our spiritual, our physical, our emotional, and our physical needs. And God is the highest court of the universe. If he was satisfied, then there isn't anything else that you can do to satisfy God. In other words, you don't have to be sick to satisfy God. You don't have to be sick to settle something. You know, I still hear Christians say things, well, you know, I don't know why God's letting this happen to me, allowing this. I hate that, allowing stuff. No, you're allowing it. He's not allowing it, you're allowing it. Amen? God says whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. So it's us that's allowing us. And people, see, this is one of the, I don't like to offend people, but this is one way people get offended. They get very offended when they hear these things because they want to be victims. They want to be a victim and they want an excuse to stay where they're at. Look, God gave that authority to us to fight back. It's our legal right to be healed and to be whole. On all planes. Amen? We don't have to accept it. It's not mine. It's not something that I'm going to coddle and pet and expect my family to pet it and take care of me and wait on. That is demonic. Offended. See, this is offending stuff, but you know what? It's time we put our foot down and stop allowing this stuff in our homes. Amen? Ugh. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Actually, we're going to start in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So this isn't talking about spiritual sickness. You know, people say, well, these things are all just talking about spiritual sickness. First of all, what the heck is a spiritual sickness? You know, because there's people who are going to want to argue that. Well, that's just, it's not physical sickness, it's spiritual sickness. Well, could you give me an example of what that might be? Spiritual sickness? No. It just doesn't work. So it's talking about physical sickness, isn't it? And basically, what was Jesus doing in his ministry prior to the cross? He was showing them a trailer, a movie trailer of what the kingdom of God was going to be like. This is what life is going to be like after I've paid the price and settled it legally. And God's going to look on what I do in my suffering, and he's going to be satisfied. He was showing them a trailer of his kingdom to come. You know, yesterday, Pastor and I were talking about Jesus. He was the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Can you imagine knowing from eternity past that you are going to suffer this horrific, horrendous death on behalf of people, many of which would never accept it, knowing that from eternity past, having that on you, knowing that was coming? I mean, my human mind has a difficult time grasping that, knowing that I'm going to do this for them. I'm going to redeem them, and doing it by faith that as many people as possibly would accept would come in, but that there would be people that would reject it, but that he was willing to do that from eternity past. He knew he was the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Oh, glory to God. So, it wasn't just sin that was dealt with at the cross. We know, we accept that our sin was dealt with at the cross, but do you accept equally that because that root was plucked up, do you accept that the fruit was dealt with as well? That sickness has no legal right. You know, yes, people will still get attacked at times. We all do. We all have opportunities at times. We all have opportunities. But if we understand how to employ those principles of faith, we can either resist it or we can tolerate it. It's up to us what we do. We have so many weapons in our arsenal, and healing is there for us to experience at any time. Another passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at that one. Go a little bit longer here, and then we'll finish. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins, again the root, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds you were healed. So once again, we see sin and sickness both addressed. It's, you know, it says by whose stripes, that's legalese. That's a legal clause, by his stripes. That's a legal phrase. But it was written in the blood of Jesus. By his stripes you were healed. That's God speaking. That's a legal right that we have. We have the right to walk in divine health every single day of our lives. You know, even as we age, we do not have... Look at Moses under an inferior covenant. It says his strength was not abated and his eyesight was not dim. This is a man that lived under an inferior covenant to what we have. We don't have to put up with deterioration. Now, yes, aging is part of life until Jesus comes and seals this up and we go to live with him forever. You know, I've heard so many people say, well, what are you going to be like in heaven? Well, everybody says that they're young again, you know. That's God's best for us, is that we live in that with vibrant health, even as we age, that we have vibrant health, that we don't put up with things breaking down. And, you know, as I've said many times, like people joke about wearing diapers. I don't think that's a joking, laughing matter. Amen. Glory to God. So again and again and again, we see that if one issue has been dealt with, the other issue was dealt with as well. Yet the church, you know, has been told for years and years and years that you just have to suffer for Jesus. Why? God was satisfied by his suffering. We don't have to suffer for Jesus. And healing isn't some capricious type of thing that it just kind of trickles down on some people, but it's not for others. Or, you just never know what mood God is in. You know, that's kind of what people are saying. Well, God can, but if he's not in a good mood, we don't say those things, but it seems that we believe them by the things we embrace about healing. So healed, made whole, cured, restored to bodily health. That word healed that's used there in 1 Peter 2:24 is used 28 times in the New Testament. 28 times. And all instances of that word is talking about physical healing. It's not spiritual healing. It's physical healing. If Jesus was giving us a trailer, he was showing us previews of what the kingdom should be like, what we should be walking and what we should be experiencing. That's what he was showing us. Why? Because the legal side of it would be dealt with at the cross. Amen? Sin would be dealt with. The curse would be dealt with. Christ, what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from that.